Hello, my sweet and wonderful friend. I hope you are keeping extremely well. Before the episode starts, I wanted to let you know that we now have some uncaged merch. That's right. And when I say merch, of course, I mean just some stickers. But hey, why not commemorate the time that you listened along on an audio journey as two grown men fell apart over the course of 100 days by defacing the front of your homework diary with some pictures of Nicolas Cage's face stuck on them. Each pack has four stickers in it, two of which are Chinese, might I add, and all the designs are great. And if that wasn't enough, all money raised by selling these suckers is going straight to SARI, which is both a charity and an acronym, Standing Against Racism and Inequality. They are a terrific organisation, well worthy of your support, so very genuinely, you picking up a couple packs of stickers is a win-win scenario. And that's it. Link to where you can pick those up is in the episode description. Get some for you, get some for your mates, commemorate this stupid thing. Now, here's your episode, you sick little fuck. Wow, you've really done a U-turn in the last 24 hours, hey? How to start?
I never thought I'd be upset that another Cage film wasn't made.
Yeah, well, you put that perfectly and cut right to the core of this. I am gutted this film never got made.
Yeah, I would love to see it despite all of this absolute nonsense we've been watching. I think this would have been good. And that's what makes it double frustrating. It feels like an extra level of disrespect from Cage here. That even after we finished all of the canon films, we then have to watch a documentary about one of his this actually could have been good films that never got made.
It's what you could have won.
Because he was too busy making fucking anything but. Like, what, this was going to come out in what, like 95?
Yeah, it was about then. It was like mid late 90s that Superman Lives.
So this would have literally been off the back of him winning an Oscar.
Yeah, right. That probably would have been the next thing. Like, it would have been probably.
This would have been in the big four.
We would have had a big five on our hands here, quite possibly.
Oh, man.
We were robbed, quite frankly. This film would have ruled. We got Nick Cage, for some reason, without the power of flight and without a super suit, fighting a giant spider octopus thing.
It just got so out of hand quickly. Just to clarify, we watched the documentary The Death of Superman Lives. Superman Lives was going to be this Tim Burton Superman film, which was originally scripted by Kevin Smith.
Just bonkers.
There's like a whole load of names to go into this, and the more you look into it, the more batshit insane it sounds. Well, I've gone on record several times saying I don't really like superhero films. I think those Tim Burton Batman ones are one of the big exceptions.
Right. So
I would have absolutely loved this.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was going to be the most bonkers film, right?
Yeah, I mean, to start with, it's the whole idea of like a repurposing that whole Superman aesthetic to focus more on the fact that he is technically an alien.
Right.
So they've gone, who could we get that kind of looks like a... He's not quite human, not quite alien. Nick Cage with long hair.
Right. Finally, someone's seen him for what he truly is. And who makes films about weird outsiders all the time?
Yeah.
Perfect. We'll get Tim Burton.
The thing is, though, everything about this film on paper sounds terrible. And then you watch this and they kind of explain what they're going for. And then you're just like, yeah, Burton's the exact person you'd want to make this. Cage is
totally
the exact person you'd want to be Superman based on that thing.
He contextualizes it so perfectly when he does go on to explain that, yeah, everyone has always looked at Superman as this hero, but really he's just this weird freak that crashed on Earth and is the last of his species, and that must feel weird and isolating. And Nick Cage is probably the last of his species as well. So it makes total sense.
Yeah, I'm with that. And it's a shame. We have to go into this kind of saying, as much as this is a documentary about a film that Cage was going to be in, he's not necessarily starring in this documentary. He's not interviewed at all. We just get
right.
A couple of kind of choice clips. So
I feel like
great.
This maybe did not need to come up as part of this particular
I'm glad I saw
exercise,
it, though. I've got to say, I really enjoyed watching this.
I'm always interested about this type of stuff anyway, and to learn about all the ins and outs about it. And it was quite fascinating to see kind of just how bitchy the whole thing got.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love the whole Kevin Smith versus John Peters. Because John Peters
my
is clearly
God. Let's talk
in
about
over
John
his
Peters
head.
Support.
His entire life has been in over his head. This guy is literally... I mean, what, he got his break. He was a hairdresser for Barbra Streisand. And then
no, he got his break from being in 500 fights.
Oh, God, yeah. What was he on about?
John Peters wants you to taste the blood of your enemies.
This celebrity hairdresser has been fighting all his life, street fights, and he wanted to incorporate that into the films. So he wanted people to know what he knew, which is he described as being in over 500 fights and what it was like to taste someone else's blood. Shut up, hairdresser.
Go
bonk another fucking perm on Barbara. No one's asking for your opinion on fighting, pal.
It was so funny. And he just keeps trying to drop. No one is asking him about his fighting experience, but he keeps dropping it in and immediately knows, yes, I have been in over 500 street fights.
I don't know anyone who's been in over 100 street fights.
Right.
And I'm from a fairly scrappy area.
I think the problem is you if you've had that many, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the problem is that, one, you're lying. And two,
right,
a lot of people seem to want to fight you because you literally, I mean, for one, right, I'm not on board with Superman films. I never have been. I think they're all crap. I would have been interested to have seen this, but whatever. But I know full well that if you're about to make a Superman film and you have three rules to impose, the rules that you don't impose first are no flying and no suit. What the fuck are you on about, John?
So mad, isn't it? But you know about rule three. He must end the film fighting a giant spider.
I could not get over this. I had to send this documentary to a couple of pals for them to watch, so to be like, am I actually seeing this right? The idea that he got Kevin Smith to come round and read him the script while he just lied on his sofa, facing the ceiling, making a little like kind of a screen out of his fingers and tries to picture the film. And he's there just going, yeah, this will be great with a big mech spider. Absolutely stop it. And the audacity to take that phone call mid-interview. I love that got left in so you can just see how smug this is.
Oh, it just reeks of smug.
I have a feeling like whoever edited this was clearly on Kevin Smith's side.
Absolutely. All of the editing is against John Peters in this.
I love how it went on to be like, oh, yeah, John Peters went on to do this Wild Wild West with the giant spider.
Oh, my God, the final nail in the coffin for that.
The fact that they drop in, it was another bomb as well. Just box office absolute zero. Fucked it. I loved it so much at that moment.
It was fun to watch. It didn't have nearly as much Cage as I think either of us featured, but what we do get is...
I loved it.
It's quite sensational, to be honest. We're seeing genuinely candid Cage, which we've... pretty much never seen. We only ever see him,
it's fascinating,
in interviews or acting in front of a camera, being in someone else.
Those moments when he's there with Burton and he's trying on the suit and they're trying to like give purpose to the different things and they're both like spitballing ideas back to each other about how, you know, the cape, they're like, why the cape, and they're trying to give it meaning, and he's just like, you know, it's like his comfort blanket as a child.
Doesn't Cage say this cape is my dad?
It's something like that. It's unbelievable how what's going on in Cage's head in this, and he's like a diehard Superman fan. He's just getting to spitball.
Absolutely.
I wish that this got made but Kevin Smith was on there so Kevin Smith and Cage could bounce back off each other for the script.
Two biggest Superman nerds.
Oh my god, it's just fantastic, and it is a costume like none other that I have ever seen.
Oh my god,
it's unbelievable when they make they make individual muscle plates through this like iridescent looking sheets of, I'm not even sure, it's some sort of plastic. It's like semi see-through, it's like transparent, and they've got like a lighting rig underneath. It's like quintessential Burton, like, but just to another level, like on a really bright side of it, and I love it.
I couldn't help feel a little bad for poor Nicolas Cage at the beginning there. Like, this man has probably always wanted to be Superman. As soon as he learned about what acting was and that people made superhero films, he thought, I will one day be Superman. He got so close, he got as far as like trying on the costume, but the first one he tries on is just shit, and it's so baggy and ill-fitting, and he's like lifting up his arms and there's all this like loose fabric underneath and he looks so gutted.
Yeah, but
to the point that one of my favourite scenes in all of this is when we see the second fitting on, where they're trying on a few of the different costumes. And there's a scene where Nick Cage has just stood in the middle of a hotel room in a Superman costume with his arms in the air and everyone is just applauding him because he can raise his arms up above his head.
He's giving it big lunges and there's no slack.
Oh, so funny.
It's really great though, and I know what you mean. I do feel genuinely gutted for him because this is a film that I don't know if it would have been good, but it would have been like unmissable.
It would have been culty at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like of all the films that they took risks on, this should have been one of them. This could have been absolutely fantastic. But getting back to that excitement of Cage, there's that moment in an interview where he sees what became, this film ended up becoming Superman Returns in some form.
Oh, is that right? Okay, interesting.
Well, like parts of it were kind of, that was the next film on, and they kind of like borrowed bits from this. And like he said, like when he saw that, he was just like, that's not the Superman film that I would have wanted to have been in. And there's even like the post-credits bit with Burton saying one day he will make this film.
Right, yeah, yes, I do remember that bit.
So, you know, his fingers crossed forever at this point that this will eventually get made, because I think Superman Lives is something that needs to happen at this point.
Yeah, totally. And like, well, I was reading that the guy that made that documentary has actually died since making it about 5 years ago.
Oh, no.
Which is a bit of a shame. But the whole thing was like crowdfunded. So like thousands of people Patreon backed this thing, a documentary about this film that was never made being made. So obviously there's some interest for it, and obviously it takes much more than a few thousand people to go to see a film. But yeah, genuinely I got to the end of this and was like, I would probably have a good time watching this, because it would just be this unusual cerebral version of Cage that we don't get that often.
As I say, I wouldn't go as far as to say that this would be a good film. I think that's very much up in the air. But I 100% watch it, and I dare anyone to say that they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I think, and I think because of that, it would probably be a box office hit. I don't know if it would go down as a classic, but I think it would do well.
Would you like to join me in being nice to Nikki?
Sure. And another one.
Yeah, I think so. Well, this is more just like appealing to him as a person and opposed to him as an actor here. And I think that's a nice way to kind of round off this segment, really, is we saw him at one of his most vulnerable, really.
Yeah, I think going back to what I said about that kind of follow-up interview when he mentioned about Superman Returns, and you can tell that there's like a bit of bitterness there, but I think that he knows here that he's made the right decision. Well, I don't, he didn't have a decision, but you know what I mean. I feel like there's a lot that you'd be upset about getting your dream job and your dream role taken away from you. And the fact that he can still go, I wouldn't have been right for what they made in the end. I feel like that's a very humble way to round off Cage's, our experience of Cage. We also get to see that iconic clip of him at the Oscars where he just says he just loves acting. And I think that's, to me, is what Cage has become throughout these 98 days, and no more so than this episode. When we just get to see, like I say, it's Candid Cage. He's not acting. This is him. He's not putting on the voices or anything for an interview. It's just him in the moment trying to be Superman. And it's just fantastic. You know, it's really lovely to see. I'm glad we watched it.
It's quite heartwarming in a weird way.
It's weird because we've seen him in all of these so exaggerated roles. And in this, we just got to see him as an excited child.
And this is him at the height of his fame as well. And he still seems quite humble about the whole thing. And he's
just won an Oscar, and he's literally in a hotel room getting his photo taken, dressed in all sorts of weird costumes.
Right, yeah.
It's just like, I love it. I really love it. And I know we've cast a lot of shade over his acting choices, but I still think the majority of these films, the films have been bad regardless of who you put in them.
Right.
He's saved more films than he's killed.
Wow, you've really done a U-turn in the last 24 hours, hey?
Well, the end's well and truly in sight now. I can taste never having to watch one of his films again, so I feel like I can big him up now.
I'd like to do the same, and I just want to give him a shout-out for, although I think he showed a lot of restraint. I think in that position, it'd be so easy to get to just say yes to everything because you're so excited about the project, and you basically just, you'll do anything to make it happen. But when we see him there and they're trying on the costumes and all that stuff, like he's there, he's asking the real questions. What about the cape and stuff like that? And at one point, Tim Burton's trying to get carried away. Tim Burton, by the way, is a person I'd never seen in real life before, but looks exactly like I imagined him to.
Yeah. We need to talk about this after you being nice to Nikki, but I'd love to talk about what you thought of Tim Burton's house.
I'll round off being nice to Nikki by saying there's a point here where they're chatting about it and Tim Burton's throwing all these ideas. He's literally just throwing shit and hoping something sticks. It really seems like he's convinced Nick Cage isn't completely on board yet. So he's just basically saying, we can do whatever. We could do this. We could do this. We could do this. And Nick says words to the effect of, you know, we're doing a fairy tale, right? Let's just remember to not take this, you know, too seriously. And I thought, it's the ultimate restrained slap in the face to be like, listen, everyone calm down, right? You're talking very seriously about this costume. It doesn't
really
matter.
Very seriously about the weirdest Superman outfit anyone's ever seen.
It's Cage essentially breaking the fourth wall and going, guys, it's not real.
It really says a lot that Cage seems to be the one bringing everyone back to work.
He's being the adult, yeah.
I know, in his childhood dream moment.
But I think that just goes to show it meant that much to him, that he was like, I can't get overexcited. I just need to keep a level head about this because I want what's best. So it just piles onto the disappointment that it never got made. I mean, in that same outro interview clip we hear, he's just excited that the idea was ever out there in the universe, you know? And I think that's kind of interesting. Like, we're now still talking about this film that was never even made.
I would rather talk about this film that wasn't made than a lot of the films that Cage did make.
Right. I know. Completely right.
But look, here's the thing. Tim Burton lives in a house that just has random skeletons sat on sofas.
Nothing about it surprised me.
No, not a single bit surprised me, to the point that I didn't even clock it for half the time. The fact that the interviewer just sat literally next to a skeleton.
You're completely right. Only you saying that has put into context how strange that kind of is.
It's just on another level, isn't it?
And he sits on like an Edwardian throne for his interview, and he's got his shades on in his dungeon the whole time.
Yeah, just surrounded by like church pews and stuff. Like, he looks like he's on one of his own sets.
He looks like he needs a lie down.
I love Tim Burton and the stuff that he's made, and I love, I mean, it's like you said, I've seen pictures of him before, but not at this age.
Right, because this is shot in about 2015-ish.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think it was shot 2014 and then brought out in 15. But yeah, it's just, this is a guy who just oozes authenticity, which is so bizarre for someone of his ilk and the kind of craft that he has.
Right.
You could see him and guess, like, if you knew, didn't know anything about him, if you were in a bar and you sat next to this guy and you went, I wonder what that guy does. I was like, probably weird fucking films and animations about little corpses and stuff. You'd be spot on.
Like, I knew what he looked like just from seeing his films. Like, he's that committed to his thing. There's even that clip of him from the 80s when he's like a teenager, and he has been so on his shit for so long. He just looked like a young version of he does now, which I realised I've basically just described the process of aging.
Shall we?
I think we shall.
Yeah, let's.
This is exciting energy to bring into it. We're finally taking a bit of control back into our own hands here, Dan. We are, for all this time, we just watched these films in the order they're served. And there's been a number that have come up where we've been like, I probably would have enjoyed this, but not now. And we're taking that power back for these final 2 days. And that's so exciting to me.
So how we spoke about doing this with we do a coin toss, and then whoever wins picks.
Yeah. Do you have a coin to hand?
I've got a bottle cap, which will do the same. You know, it's got two sides.
Okay, yeah, great.
Let's continue with the budget of this podcast.
You flip, I call.
Yeah, so we'll say you've got the Coors Light logo or the non-logo side.
Okay, I'm ready when you are. This is weirdly exciting.
I'm just trying to work out why I just name-dropped the Coors Light, though. It's not a sponsorship. I'm glad it's not.
Of all the beers to let people know you're drinking, don't worry, I got a nice can of Foster's right beside me right now, so neither of us are exactly kings.
I flipped it. Because I know which side of my hand the grill bit of the bottle cap is now stuck in my hand, I know which way around it is in advance, so I'll let you call it.
I think I'll
that's gone,
call...
That's gone very wrong. I think I might be bleeding.
I think I'll call heads.
Which is heads?
The side with the picture on it. You just told me what side was up.
No, you're wrong. No, what I've done is I've tossed it and then I've slammed my hand down onto the other hand and, yeah, I've cut my fingers on this bottle cap.
I knew I should have done the coin flip.
Oh, it's all right. This is pretty much what we expected from this.
That's radio, baby.
I'll wrap some paper around my hand.
Right, that didn't work.
We're all right.
Let me find
I feel like that's what... You can't make an alternative when you've lost.
I've won!
How did you win? You called heads and it was tails. I don't know how you worked out winning from that one, Ben. If you've done coin tosses before.
Wait, sorry, I've misunderstood. Okay, that's good. I was about to use my Nintendo DS copy of Nintendogs that I just found the other day, but
another not endorsement.
That's dangerous. No, that's a hearty endorsement. I wonder how my little guys are doing. Anyway, okay, great. So you won, Dan. You get first. Well, I think you get choice.
I want you to pick first.
Yeah, we both want the other one to pick first, so we can reasonably...
It's because I want to know where you're going to go with this.
Right. So here's my thinking. Although we are although we are celebrating...
We did say as a gentleman's agreement we weren't going to pick any Saturn films, right?
No, that's completely right. I think that is still a very, very good idea. I don't think they should come into the equation. Otherwise, we've got a pretty good energy today, and I think it will be a real shame to not try ride the high of that. That being said, I like the chaotic nature that we've managed to have as part of this project. I've enjoyed, to a degree, and I think it's part of the experience, if I'm honest, that we are just having to eat whatever is put on our plate and is put in front of us.
God.
So what I would propose that I would like to do is I'm going to roll a 100-sided dice on this.
Have you got a 100-sided die?
I've got a 10-sided dice that I'm going to roll twice. The first to establish the first number, the second to establish the second number.
Oh, so you're just going to multiply them?
No. We'll have a number between 1 and 10. Well, obviously, if it's 10, that'll be 0 because it is the 100 one.
I'm not sure you know how numbers work.
No, I've got this figured out. I've been thinking about it and I feel like this is the right thing to do. So I'm going to roll the first number now. This will place us in an approximate era, and then the second number will tell us which of those films. I've got our list of episodes up in front of me.
Okay.
From what day. So I'm a bit nervous because although this whole thing has been fairly out of our control, we can always blame it on what we're dealt. But now I am the one rolling our next film experience here. So it might be for the better, it might be for the worst. Let's see what we get. Our first number is going to be... 4.
Okay, so we're starting in the 40s, is that?
So we're starting in the 40s. So we've got a few different choices here.
Where does 40 start? What was episode 40?
The episode 39 was the film called Wind Talkers.
Oh.
So everything after that, but before, you'll be pleased to hear, Grindhouse.
Oh.
Oh, shit. There are some good ones and there are some bad ones here.
National Treasure, The Wicker Man, Ghost Rider... World Trade Center. We can't watch The Ant Bully again.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's hear it.
National Treasures.
I'm hoping for adaptation or Matchstick Men here.
Okay.
This is the worst era because there's some huge wins here and some huge losses.
I know, this is such a risk. Okay. Here comes the dice. It's a 4. 44.
Is that National Treasure?
Yeah, we're watching National Treasure.
Oh, no! Things you love to see. This is going to be my 8th watch of National Treasure.
Can I bring in the Saturn Films clause?
No, you voided that one well
and
truly, mate.
Yeah, I did with the dice, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
How do you feel about back to back Benny?
Oh no!
How would you feel if your last 2 days in the cage is watching the full National Treasure saga?
Fuck!
Could I be that guy?
I tell you what, there is a weird part of me.
I can't make you watch both.
That is excited to see the match a lot of people have been really looking forward to, where we will finally see Red Miller take on Benjamin Franklin Gates as we rewatch National Treasure.
Oh,
fuck me running. Of all the films, I would have rather watched The Ant Bully again, but here we are. I'm not going to bitch and moan. It could have been World Trade Center. I've
already watched this 7 times in my lockdown.
It could have been
World Trade Center. I've already watched this 7 times, and I'm not mad at all. Do you want my pick now, or do you want my pick tomorrow?
I would like your pick tomorrow. I think that's the good cliffhanger to end.
I'm going to let you know one thing. I'm not going to give you back-to-back. We're not going to do the saga.
Whew.
But that doesn't mean we're not going to go back to back Benjamin Franklin Gates if we watch National Treasure twice in 2 days. Oh, I'm feeding off that silence, Ben.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, this is really funny now, but I guarantee it will not be the moment I press start.
I'll let you know where I land tomorrow. Yeah, we'll roll this over tomorrow and I'll let the suspense build for what I decide to go with.
Oh, Lord.
I feel like my work's already been done by you, so I feel like I'm free to pick anything.
Oh, mate, I don't have anything left to say off the back of that. That's an unexpected turn of events as we... I mean, really, I should have known. The writing was on the wall the whole time, wasn't it?
The moment you said 40, I was like, oh, God, it's good. It has to be.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I can't believe it's taken 99 days to prove that there is a God. Yeah, let's call it there, and I'll chat to you tomorrow about Benjamin Franklin Gates in National Treasure 1.
You son of a bitch. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.
My God.
I'm so happy about this.
Oh, you made it to the bit after the music at the end. Look at you. Here's a quick note just to say that we do have Uncaged merch available now. We've got sticker packs, there's four great designs, two of which are shiny, and all of the money raised is going to a really important charity called Sari. The link to where you can get them is in the episode description. That's it. Now go about your business.